Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this special edition of the Four Eastings Fire American Soccer Show. This is the 2024 U.S. Open Cup Round 1 Review Show, as we talk about the exciting games in the first round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And as we begin this Open Cup Roundtable, of course, it's just amazing to see all of you into the Open Cup after everything it's been through. Of course, we all know what Major League Soccer did, unfortunately. But once again, it's just a good feeling to see all of you supporting this tournament, because it's not just a celebration of MLS. This is a celebration of the game as a whole. We all come together and we celebrate this game, just like we're all doing right now for March Madness in the NCAA college basketball tournament. This is what the Open Cup does. It gives everyone, whether you are in the professional leagues, in the amateur leagues, if you're a fan of a professional side in the first division, the second division, the third division, the amateur divisions, the under 23 divisions, we're all coming together to support this cup competition, to have the ability and the opportunity to claim to be the national champion of American soccer. All of you have come together and have told everyone in Major League Soccer, the front office, and some of the clubs that choose not to participate because they don't want to tell them that this cup competition matters. Regardless of who is running it, whether it be MLS or U.S. Soccer, depending on who has control of the business and marketing rights of the Open Cup, it does not matter. It is supposed to be for all of us, not for one single entity and not one single arm or branch of American soccer. But let me say this before we begin this show. Former MLS player, current MLS analyst on MLS 360 and MLS Countdown and MLS Wrap-Up, on MLS's Season Pass through Apple TV, Sasha Kleistjen signed with the Des Moines Menace of the United Soccer League's USL League 2 to be involved in Open Cup competition. And my goodness, the man still has it, even though he's been recently retired for over a year. That assist he gave on the opening goal of the match was just absolutely sensational. The cross to Cyrus Harmon in that 53rd minute for the Des Moines Menace to make it 1-0. And even though he got leveled up in a couple of minutes later, about 13 minutes later by Parker Scalzo, who got a brace in this one, you just have to say that was unbelievable. You just have to say that what he was able to do in this match was unreal. And going into extra time, of course, was even weirder. Absolutely weirder. He went the 120 minutes. And then he takes the final penalty for Des Moines to make it 5-4. And of course, Galzo was going to try and convert his, roofs it over the crossbar. And unfortunately, that's the end of it. And Des Moines Menace advances to the next round. But to see Sasha Kleistian still doing what he's able to do for the Des Moines Menace was just unbelievable. Of course, on the call was Joe Malfa and Jamie Watson. Boy, what a fun time that was. You know, I want to say to those two guys, if they're listening tonight, you know, that was a lot of fun having some fun with them, talking to them through Twitter to see how far Sasha can go, see how far he can, you know, last in this one, because we're all thinking, yeah, he's probably done. No, he keeps going. Yeah, he's probably done. Nope, he's still going to play the entire 90 minutes. He still played the entire extra time, and he took the fifth and game-winning penalty for Des Moines Menace, and they move on to the second round. You know, those two, you know, I respect them a lot. They do a great job of calling games, whether it be for, you know, MLS. Of course, Jamie was the analyst for Nashville SC. Of course, at the time, he was also sideline reporter for Minnesota United FC on their broadcasts. But, you know, doing Open Cup matches. We don't know, Joe Malfa also does CONCACAF events as well, whether it be the Gold Cup, the Champions Cup, Open Cup as well, Nations League as well. You know, Joe Malfa, very good professional, fun time to hang out with him. And it's just been fantastic to, you know, two good guys. You can have a little fun with them. And, of course, let's not forget Bradley Wright Phillips, of course, former professional soccer player, football player. Of course, also with MLS season pass as a studio analyst for MLS 360 pregame, MLS wrap-up whenever he gets the opportunity. Of course, I know Brad from his time with the New York Rebels, covering the Red Bulls when he was on there. Fun guy to talk to, still a fun guy to chat with, and he's just been really a good stand-up guy. Love Bradley Wright Phillips. Enjoy his brother Sean Wright Phillips as well when he was with the Red Bulls for a shorter period of time. Two excellent people that I can definitely say are top class, absolutely top class people in this whole situation. So just got to say, it is awesome to joke around with great people. And of course, seeing Brad throwing the jokes around at Sasha as well, especially the walker, that was funny. The old man's going to have tired legs after going through 120 minutes of play like that. That was cool to read and watch on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Just a lot of fun to see Bradley Wright Phillips once again, Joe Malfa, and, of course, Jamie Watson, just having some fun on the broadcast. And look, I like to join in on the fun too, you know. I like to join in on the fun and spread the love, you know, of the Open Cup. This is why I talk about this tournament, because every once in a while you're going to get a surprise. And that was Sasha Kleistian. But once again, you know, credit to him. He loves the Open Cup. We all love the Open Cup. We all want to see the Open Cup flourish. We all want to see the Open Cup being taken care of. We want to see the Open Cup become something that we all know it is. Everybody joins in, and everybody battles each other for 90 minutes, maybe an extra 30, possibly a penalty kick shootout, to go and find a way to knock out your opponent and move on to the next round. You shake hands afterwards and maybe you head on down to the pub and you have a pint. Or maybe there's a pizza place somewhere around and head to a pizza parlor and you order a couple of pies and you have a laugh. But once again, a trophy is on the line. Certain things at times, and yes, we've complained, I've complained, I don't want to complain, but look, this is the national championship of American soccer. This tournament, originally the trophy donated by Sir Thomas Dewar, Scotch whiskey maker, who brought his trophy over to the United States, at the time the U.S. Football Federation, has been around for over 100 years. In the 1999 season, at the final, just before the final ended, of course, there was a vote to honor Lamar Hunt, owner of several MLS clubs and, of course, the Dallas Tornadoes, a man that wants the sport of soccer to be a part of the fabric of America. It's slowly growing. Still have more room to get there, but still, though, it's growing. It is just absolutely important to remember why Lamar Hunt's name is on the cup and is dedicated to this tournament. My hope and prayer is this, is that this tournament must continue to continue to be what it's supposed to be. The Davids going after the Goliaths. Because it's not just Major League Soccer's ball. This is not just USL's ball. This is not just NISA's ball. This is not just the NPSL's ball. And this is not just the U.S. Adult Soccer Association's ball. This ball belongs to everybody. This is our tournament. And I don't care if MLS assumes it's not done right. It's not your call. It's not your call. It is the call of the president of U.S. Soccer, the chief executive officer of U.S. Soccer. You must compete in it. And I really do hope U.S. Soccer understands that all of us wants this tournament to be legitimate on the up and up, and that they must run this tournament the way it should, because this is not how you are supposed to be allowing shenanigans to interfere with this Open Cup competition. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm telling you all right now, all of you that are supporting this tournament, you can't wait for it. I can't wait for it, because even though I'm still a little sad that only 8 MLS clubs are in the Open Cup, it doesn't sour me that now the Lamar Hunt Trophy is up for grabs and a better opportunity at that. Trust me when I say this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an Open Cup night across America, and never, ever forget to save the cup. Never forget that. Save the cup. Save the Open Cup. Stick by it. Stay loud and proud. Let's go for it. Let us remain strong and steadfast. And the hope is that all of you and everyone else that gets their clubs involved in the tournament, please, please let us go ahead and save the Open Cup. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a great show for you tonight as we review some of these big-time games in the opening round of the U.S. Open Cup. As we get ready to talk about that big matchup and that involves, for the very first time ever, the presents the state of Vermont. Vermont Green, a big victory in their very first Open Cup matchup as they took out Lexington SC. It was a 4-3 victory in regulation time. And just waiting for the head coach to call in, and that is Mr. Adam Pfeiffer of Vermont Green, as we get ready to talk about Vermont Green and how they were able to go out there and absolutely put on a show. What a show it was. And it's not just that they put on a show. I want to give credit to all the Vermont Green supporters that they filled up the ground. Seeing it jam-packed. I know it's a small field. I know it's very short. Hang on one second. As we are trying to get Mr. Pfeiffer on and waiting for him to give us a call. As we're trying to get up, there he is right now. Yes, we have him on right now, ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of Vermont Green, the one and only Adam Pfeiffer, joining me tonight. Adam, good evening, and how are you?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on your very first Open Cup match and Open Cup victory. What was that like for you and your players and the organization to see that happen on Vermont soil?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was incredibly exciting. You know, it was one of those things that was kind of a further out sort of dream when the club was started a couple of years ago. But to have it all kind of come together the way that it did last Tuesday was fantastic for the players and obviously big for the club. And, you know, the community, you know, really rallied around us, and it was great.
What was it like to take on a professional side, obviously a level higher, but still, though, Lexington SC has been a decent club coming into the professional rankings in the third division. And, of course, I know the sporting director there, former captain of Port Vale in England. What was it like to battle these professional players against your young side?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of an interesting kind of situation that we were in, just given that, you know, we only had really 3 days to train. But, you know, one of the advantages obviously that we had was that we were able to see them play, and, you know, we were able to watch, you know, two full matches, and to be fair to them, like, they had no idea, you know, even what our roster was going to look like until a couple of days before the game. So, you know, we had kind of that element of surprise. I don't think they expected us to have, you know, some of the college players that we had. And, you know, I think from a, you know, to a degree, I think they were kind of expecting to play against sort of a men's league team from Vermont. You know, I mean, it wasn't, you know, clear, I think, for them, you know, what kind of side we were able to put together. And we had, you know, some reasonably experienced, you know, college players and, you know, even some guys that have played, you know, professional minutes, whether it's in USL 1 or guys that, you know, USL championship minutes as amateurs before they went to college. So, you know, it was incredibly exciting for us to be able to host a professional team in Vermont. I don't know if a competitive match had ever been played between, you know, whether it was an amateur and professional team or two professional teams. I don't think there'd ever been like a true competitive match played with a professional team on Vermont soil. So that part was really exciting for us as well.
That's fantastic to hear. I have to ask you, have you ever seen, whether it's your club or a club you've supported, whether it be in the States or in Europe, to have both corner kicks delivered and they both go in the back of the net with ease?
Yeah, that was, kind of surprising how well that worked out. I mean, that was something we put in, the day before the game. So like I said, we only had three sessions before the game, and even at those three sessions, like, we didn't have a full squad at the game. Like I said, we had college players that had come in, a couple guys that had to go back for classes on the Monday and then come back. That part was, we were surprised at how well things worked, but obviously, we had a plan, and to have it work out the way that it did was nice. It definitely gave us a nice boost in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Zach Berry in the fifth minute, Nick Lockerman in the 19th made it 2-0. Of course, Isaac Canoe made it 2-1, Lexington pulled one back. But how about that goal from Jacob Lubavitz in the 24th minute, 4 minutes afterwards, to put you guys back up to two, and that was 3-1, and basically cruising on.
Yeah, I mean, that third goal was fantastic. It was a play that started, in our own half, and obviously went down the left side, and our left back Gerardo made, a fantastic run and made a nice little combination play at the top of the box to sort of set him free down the wing, and great cross. And then obviously Jacob, being the professional that he is, finished it off and kind of gave us a little bit of breathing room again, which was nice. And then, obviously we get the fourth somewhat early in the second half, and we're able to hang on, the rest of the match.
Yeah, absolutely. But I have to ask you, though, I mean, Cameron Lancaster is a well-known player in the lower levels, especially in USL Championship times with Louisville City, other clubs as well, including now currently with Lexington. He scores two in the 60th minute, 78th minute. I mean, how worried were you when it was 4-3 with about 12 minutes left in regulation and whatever's going to be added on in stoppage time?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we were well aware of the fact that our guys didn't have the legs that their players were going to have, just given the fact that they were able to have full preseason. And, we've got guys coming in from different college teams and, at different levels of their fitness. Going up 4-1, we knew that the game wasn't over. We knew that there was going to be, a time where they were going to get at least one, down the stretch, because we knew that our guys' legs just weren't going to be able to match sort of the intensity of, the way that the start of the game was. But, fortunately, it was enough space to allow us to hold on as the game went on. But, our guys were able to hold up reasonably well. And, look, we had, two or three 1v1s with the goalkeeper in the last, and certainly, in the last 5 minutes of the game, two very clear 1v1s. And so we could have extended the lead at those times. And, we had a goal called back that I don't honestly think should have been called back after watching it back. So, we knew that we were going to be able to hit them on the counter. We were definitely nervous that last 12 minutes, but, fortunately we were able to do enough to get things over the line.
Absolutely, and that was wonderful. And you moved on to the next round. And what does it mean to you and the club to get a special message from your state senator, Bernie Sanders, cheering on Vermont Green, congratulating you and the club for winning your very first Open Cup match?
Yeah, that was obviously a nice little surprise. I mean, he's been a supporter of the club, and so is his his people that work for him. So they had done a little bit of a mini documentary or something like that over the summer, and so that had come out probably sometime in the fall. But yeah, it was a nice thing to sort of wake up to, and But we're obviously, you know, incredibly fortunate. We've got amazing support from our community and from the local politicians and local business people. And, you know, it was nice to be able to kind of reward all that support with what was really, you know, a special night last Tuesday. And let's hope that we can do it again next Wednesday.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what's going to happen there. You know, myself personally, being from New York City, I have visited Vermont a couple of times. I haven't been to Burlington, but I have been to Rutland and Killington and Manchester and, of course, Woodstock, Keshi Gorge. I mean, Vermont, if anyone wants to go to Vermont, it's a very beautiful state. The greenery, the scenery, everything is absolutely gorgeous in Vermont. Burlington, how soccer crazy is Burlington, Vermont, my friend?
Yeah, I moved to the town about 10 years ago, and, you know, one of the things that kind of struck me at first was just how often you would see, you know, the local, you know, youth soccer players in the different jerseys and wearing, or you'd see bumper stickers kind of all over the town and, you know, of the different clubs. And that really stood out because it was something that I wasn't used to, you know, having grown up in the Boston area and living in the Boston area. You know, it's a pro sports kind of space. And, you know, I went to Boston College, and even being at Boston College, we didn't get the kind of attention that, you know, some of the college teams get and some of the, you know, lower level sort of professional teams get in Vermont. But yeah, I mean, it's very much a soccer state, and people are very, you know, very supportive of obviously, you know, the team, but the local, you know, same thing with, you know, at the University of Vermont, they get great crowds, both the men and the women. And, you know, it's a special soccer community. And I think that, you know, hopefully this run continues for us and people can kind of learn more about what's going on in our community when it comes to soccer. And, you know, hopefully it continues to grow.
All right there, Adam. Finally from me, your next opponent in the second round, you'll be hosting Carolina Core from MLS Next Pro. What's your concerns? What's your positives? How do you think this match will be?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they've got some really talented younger players. Obviously, not some of the more, you know, experienced sort of accomplished pros like what Lexington had with people like Cameron Lancaster, but definitely some younger sort of more up and coming kind of players, some really really talented sort of, you know, guys that are still, you know, in their teens. So definitely a different kind of challenge. I think, you know, some kids that could have some, you know, really sort of high level professional ambitions in that group. And, you know, we obviously, again, similar to our last opponent, like we do have the luxury of being able to watch them play more than they can watch us. And so, you know, I think it'll be a very different match. I think in terms of, you know, how influential we can be with the ball, you know, that maybe is a little bit different. Maybe we have a little bit of a more of a hold of the game and can be more influential from that standpoint. But from the same point in time, you know, that opens up different things for our opponent as well. So it'll be a very different game. But like I said, like, you know, those guys are pros. They're all paid to play. Our guys aren't. And, you know, we're not going to have a ton of time to prepare, but, you know, we're going to do everything that we can to be as organized as possible and try to make life hard for them. And, yeah, we're excited for it, and I would imagine we're going to have, you know, that game should be sold out pretty soon. And, you know, it'll be the same kind of atmosphere that we were able to play in last Tuesday.
Well, excuse me for a second. Sorry about that, Adam. But I just wanted to say thank you very much for joining me tonight. Congratulations on your first victory in the U.S. Open Cup for Vermont Green, and good luck against Carolina Core in the next round. Thanks again, and have a good night.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Once again, that's Adam Pfeiffer, head coach of Vermont Green, as he joins us tonight to talk about, of course, their first ever Open Cup match and their first ever Open Cup victory for their club, defeating Lexington SC by a final of 4-3. And I'm just waiting on Carter Krishnire of World Soccer Talk to join me. Of course, he's been covering the Open Cup as well. in his own way through the state of Florida. And here he is, my colleague at World, over at As Well As Beyond the 90 and from World Soccer Talk, Kartik Krishnayar. Kartik, before we talk about some of these Open Cup matches, from your own personal experience, we've been covering this situation with the Open Cup for these last couple of months now. What's been your thoughts from, in your opinions, about how the Open Cup has been getting all this support from everybody at every level supports this game, grassroots, professional leagues, amateur leagues, these fans? What's been your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that there's been a lot of excitement about this tournament this year. I think that there's been more energy and excitement around U.S. Open Cup than I can remember because of what has happened. And I think ultimately, whether MLS returns to this tournament in full force or not, we certainly hope they do. But my concerns that the competition would just die away, fade away because of MLS's non-participation, now I'm very optimistic. I mean, I think that this first round and the amount of energy we saw around the first round, Daniel, was fantastic. And with in terms of first rounds, you and I have covered the first round. You even did a Ramble show. I can't remember what it was called.
Ramble.
Yeah, several years ago. Have covered the first round proper when adult amateur teams, at one time were just facing off against other adult amateur teams, and so depending on the year, very, very extensively. But it's been something that Josh Hakala, Jake Sillick, the guys at thecup.us, you, myself, a few other people have engaged in. Dan Vaughn, Joshua over at Protagonist, and before Protagonist was around, you know, Brian Korstead maybe. But it wasn't a mainstream thing among soccer fans. And I feel this year there was a real energy and enthusiasm around trying to make the cup what it was. That's really refreshing. I think we saw a lot of fans of MLS teams even say, you know what, we don't agree with what our clubs have done and what the league has done. We're going to watch Vermont Green against Lexington. We're going to watch El Farolito against Timbers 2. We're going to watch the match I was at. I was at two matches this past week, but one of the matches, Brave SC versus Savannah Clovers. I'm picking matches from the first night because I think that was when we really saw, wow, this is a different day in the Open Cup, and people, by and large, have rejected what MLS tried to do to the competition.
I think MLS needs to understand that this is our cup. It's not just their cup. It's not just their ball. It's all of us. It's all of us. It's everyone's ball. It's everyone's cup. We want to see this tournament flourish, and we've been begging for it from every point and every corner of American soccer, not just on the pitch, but in the boardroom as well, Kartik, and the people are speaking very loudly.
Very clearly they're speaking very loudly, and I think this is going to be a wake-up call to the people in the boardrooms of MLS. Maybe they're just chasing sponsors' dollars and, you know, the people who buy the luxury boxes, the casuals, your friends, Gary Redmond and others who follow the Red Bull have even said that to me. Well, you know, it's MLS. You're interested in that soccer mom that spends money on the weekends. But those people don't care about Open Cup, but the supporters do, right? And that's what Red Bull supporters have told me. Your own supporters, Red Bull supporters have told me, you know, screw this. We're going to go support FC Motown. Unfortunately, they didn't play very well. But, you know, we're going to go out and embrace this cup and the other teams in this cup. I think it's a shot across the bow to MLS, what we saw this past week.
I absolutely agree. And hopefully they're listening. I hope they're also understanding that this cannot happen for next year. And I want U.S. Soccer to also put their foot down permanently and tell them You're not going to do this again to us, and you're not going to do this to the Open Cup again. Let's quickly talk about the matches you were at. You saw Brave SC, formerly the Villages, facing Savannah Clovers, even though the Clovers did win 2-0. What was your thought of the match, and what was the turnout for that one, too, over at where Brave SC plays at the H.G. Moore Stadium?
Yeah, that match was their first match at H.G. Moore Stadium. It was on turf, which was a little complicated for them. The team has never played on – well, I mean, I guess they played away games on turf, but Villages / Brave SC have been around since 2016. Actually, if you predate that, the Ocala Stampede, who qualified for Open Cup a couple times. In fact, I think the Villages / Brave SC, if you include the Ocala years, I think they have the most they have qualified for U.S. Open Cup the most of any USL League 2 team, or, of course, PDL before that, over the course of the last decade. So they're very familiar with this. But this was the first game they had played at this stadium, this brand-new stadium, where it's a new turf, but it's turf, right? And their guys were used to playing on grass. So I think that threw them a bit. But it was a good game, right? Savannah took their chances. Roddy Green, a player that I've liked a lot in his past in Chattanooga and in Detroit, but he had a very good game for Savannah. Brave, I thought, were the better team in midfield. I think that they controlled the midfield for much of the game, but there was a lot of space that Savannah was able to exploit on the counter. They're professional players, so maybe a little bit above in terms of finishing and poise. Although, I have to say, very strangely, the amateur team seemed to be the fitter of the two teams. Granted, Savannah's NISA season has been delayed by a couple of weeks. That might be the reason why. But it was a good game. There was a very good crowd. They didn't take attendance, but I would say it would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 to 800, which at a new stadium, which is in the wrong part of the Villages, if you will. I mean, the stadium is if you're familiar with Central Florida or North Central Florida, this stadium is actually closer to Bushnell than it is to Wildwood, or it's closer to Bushnell than it is to Leesburg. So it's not in the main part of the Villages where historically this club has played. So it is a little bit of a hike for the people in the Villages who have gone to the games at Summerfield and where they previously have played. So I was impressed by the crowd. I think that there was, again, a vibe because it was Open Cup. Now, one other thing I want to mention about this match, Daniel, is talking to the players on Savannah after the game. They are in NISA. That's a professional league. They want to compete hard in NISA. But each and every one of them that I talked to told me Open Cup is more important than their league play. Open Cup is what they and I understand some MLS guys, maybe they don't care about it as much, or you know, maybe they've been told League Cup is more important. But every single one of these Savannah guys I talked to, and they are professional players, they are veteran players. That's a veteran team, Savannah, with a lot of guys that have been around the lower divisions of American soccer. They all told me Open Cup is the most important thing on their calendar in terms of competition.
Absolutely, and I'm very, very happy to hear that, and hopefully they'll keep on fighting for that as well. The other Floridian match, obviously battling between, of course, we all know with Club de Leon and their issues from last year, hopefully they've been settled for this year. They took on the UPSL spring champions, AS Frenzy. That was a 3-2 victory for Club de Leon. What happened in that one?
Oh, man, what a game. I mean, I really feel bad for AS Frenzy. I thought large portions of the game they were the better team, particularly from, I would say, from minutes 35 until the red card. They had a guy sent off for persistent infringement and getting two yellows really kind of in quick succession. That happened right after AS Frenzy had gotten the equalizer and were on the front foot and felt like they were pushing for a potential winner. AS Frenzy, so this was an interesting game. Club de Leon, different roster than last year. Last year they were a very young team. A lot of Orlando area local players, which you know, I embrace personally. This year you see a Club de Leon team. They had their financial problems last year. They had their bumps moving up from amateur. And actually, in Open Cup, they had a bigger problem because their amateur, their two team had qualified for amateur. They had qualified for Open Cup as an amateur team. And because they had qualified for Open Cup as an amateur team, from their previous season in UPSL, and then they were a new professional team. They had two teams in Open Cup, similar to somebody this year, Zeta, this year. Now, the problem was the guys that they brought up to the first team were cup ties. So they had to play for Club de Leon 2 against Nona FC, and they lost that match. And then they had to take a B team to San Antonio. And they almost won there, right? They took it to extra time. But so this year they have a veteran team. Burrito Martinez is their leading guy. He's a former Corinthians player, Boca Juniors. He played for Vélez Sarsfield as well. So a former Argentine international actually has, I think, five or six caps for Argentina. So he scored the winning goal. He scored twice in this match. But prior to that, I would say Frenzy were slightly better. There was a kind of a freakish own goal. But then they were playing nice football in midfield, right? And they got two goals back. The thing about Frenzy to note is that there are a bunch of young players on that team, many of whom have come out of the Orlando City Academy or have been part of MLS Next programs in Central Florida. So I'm not sure. So the red card happened, and then Club de Leon took control and won the game with the Burrito Martinez goal late in stoppage time. I'm not sure that wouldn't have happened otherwise because, you and I both know this, Daniel. When you deal with young teams, when you deal with, MLS reserve teams, they're not necessarily always 90 minutes fit, right? They're, really good for 60 or 65 minutes. This is what I think made your Red Bull 2 team that Tyler Adams was on and Aaron Long was on that won the USL Championship in 2016 so unique and so different than other reserve teams because they were able to go 90 or even 120 with full-fledged professional USL teams. Most of these younger teams can't, which we saw both with Austin and Portland, Portland too, in their losses. So I feel like when the red card happened, Frenzy were the better team, and it felt like they might get, they might win the game. But it's possible they wouldn't have because, again, I think young players hit a wall, and they also, there's a lack of composure, which we saw with the red card or the two quick yellows. So. But it was a great game, and I think it was a great showcase to show so that everyone saw how many good footballers there are, how many good young players and veteran players there are in Central Florida. And there are people who said to me, well, why does Club de Leon have to exist? There's an MLS team in Orlando. Why are they playing up in Winter Park, which is, 5 miles away, right? Showalter Field, where they play, is probably about 5 miles from Paramore, where Orlando City plays. It's because there's so many good players in that area, okay? You can't just shut up shop and say, hey, can you imagine, Daniel, New Jersey, if we said, well, you know what, because Red Bull exists, we don't need FC Motown, we don't need the team in Atlantic City, we don't need the amateur teams in Bergen County, we don't need any of those teams, right? There are players that fall through the cracks, and then I think in the case of Red Bull, they're an exceptionally well-run youth program. I do not think that about Orlando City. I think Orlando City has been actually one of the worst MLS academies in terms of just the way they've executed things over the course of I put them in the bottom five in the league. So that's why Club de Leon exists, and that's why it's good they exist, and it's good there are clubs like AS Frenzy, who, as you mentioned, won the UPSL Spring Championship, national championship, with guys exclusively from the Orlando area, exclusively from Central Florida. That's something here in Florida I'm very proud of, to say they were the national champions, all with local guys.
Absolutely, and it's great to hear about these two fantastic matches, Kardik, and of course, cannot wait to see what's going to happen when Miami FC gets involved in the Open Cup, when I believe it will be in the third round. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen with them when USL Championship gets underway. Kardik, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Can't wait to have you back on again. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, follow Kardik Krishnaiyer and I over and read our articles at Beyond the 90 at beyondthe90.substack.com on everything American soccer and around the world. Kardik, as always, thank you for joining me tonight, and I will talk to you again soon, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much, Daniel.
All right, Kardik Krishnaiyer once again. And don't forget to also follow Kardik Krishnaiyer over at World Soccer Talk as well. He writes articles over there at World Soccer Talk too, so it should be a lot of fun. So my next guest, waiting for my next guest to call in, and here he is right now. This is the head coach of the club in Dallas, Texas area, 40SC. This is Mr. Ivan Mwanze Bengono. I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Yep, okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ivan, for joining me tonight. Congratulations on your victory in the U.S. Open Cup. What was that like for you and the club to not only qualify for this Open Cup, but to take on a third division club in Austin FC 2?
Yeah, it was a phenomenal experience for the boys, especially to be in that professional environment, be in the atmosphere with all the fans as well. And I think us as a team, we thrived on that and really enjoyed the challenge. And from the challenge, we went on and won the game.
Absolutely. It was absolutely fun to watch, a real barn burner. Could not believe what was going on. As we go ahead and discuss your club, big goal in the opening goal there for 4-0 in the 39th minute by Johnson Sauceda. What was it about Johnson that made you smile when you saw him score that opening goal?
Just his willingness and eagerness to get on the end of that ball. Like, you know, you have a big keeper from Austin FC coming out like that, and he wasn't, like, scared to go for it. So I think that's something about Johnny that we love. It's just his fearlessness. Just always willing to work hard as well for the team. So when we saw that ball going from his head, we were all buzzing for him, and it was a great start for us as well.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. And, of course, moving on, unfortunately, get this to the restart. And one of your own men had to help Austin out. We know it's not intentional. We all know that. But still, though,
yeah.
Tough to see Nigel. Yeah, poor Nigel. Feel bad for him. Got that own goal in the 53rd minute there by Mr. Nigel Katawa. But then it goes straight into extra time. But before that, did you get sent off, Ivan?
Yes, I did. Unfortunately, I did. Just I'd probably say a defensive mistake, and you know, being last man, just again mistake, and the third play to the Austin striker, he got in front of me and I clipped him. So you know, referee told me he didn't want to do it, but obviously it had to be done. But still, kudos to the boys. They worked hard, even going down to 10 men and fought to like the last whistle. So
absolutely, and of course the match goes into extra time, and then they take the lead, Austin, in the 105th minute. But when you must have been watching in the locker room when Kyle Bennett converted that huge equalizer in the second half extra time, stoppage time. What was that like for you? And did you grab anything? Did you throw stuff around in celebration? What happened?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to give Kyle a huge shout out. I think when he came on, he kind of changed the game for us as well, because a few of the boys were getting tired, but he came on with, like, immense energy. But, yeah, in the locker room, you know, there's not much I could do there, but as soon as he scored that, I was screaming. I was just buzzing that he scored for us, because, as you said, it was, like, the last few minutes of the game, so we were kind of thinking we were out, but yeah, as you scored, I was just in the locker room screaming. There's no one around me to celebrate with, but I was excited. I was buzzing.
Absolutely, Ivan. I gotta tell you, I would be too if that was my teammate putting the ball in the back of the net at the death and to keep your hopes alive. What did your coach tell you, or what did you hear from the guys when the coach was trying to give him that pep talk for the penalty kick shootout?
Yeah, he just, the first thing he told us at the start was, like, we went here just to compete. We came here to get a victory. And he asked us all at the start, and the same question at the end, is, do we believe we're good enough to be here? Do we believe we're good enough to move forward? And we all looked him dead in the eye at the start, and I'm pretty sure the boys did at the end, saying, yeah, we are, we do believe. So that, I'm pretty sure, gave the boys a big booster when they went into the penalty shootout. You know, a lot of confidence as well when they stepped up, and it showed in the end. We did believe, and we got what we came to get, and that was a victory.
Yes, it was. a very huge victory. And, of course, how about at the last kick of the shootout, your keeper making that big, big save low to his right? What was that feeling?
Oh, it was immense. Again, I was in the locker room, but I could hear the boys from outside celebrating and screaming Gonzalo's name as he saved it. So me, myself, in the locker room, I was screaming. It was huge. You know, Gonzalo's a phenomenal goalkeeper for us and has been, and it showed when he saved that penalty for us.
So no one provided you with a laptop? No one provided you with a computer to watch this match while you're serving your, you know, sitting in the locker room with your, with the red card that you had to, that you earned? No one gave you anything to watch the match?
No, so I was on my phone. I found the link to the game, so I was watching it. But the link to the game was lagging, so I could hear what was going on outside, but I didn't know what was going on until it showed on the phone. But yeah, I managed to pull up my phone, find the game, and it was, I managed to watch the game as I was sweating in the locker room.
Now, just to let us know, where are you originally from, sir?
Yeah, I'm from Glasgow, Scotland.
Mm-hmm. So if I can ask you this, when you came over to the United States and being a part of this club, how amazed were you above the players that you were surrounded with to join that, you know, the talent that they have, and of course to be battling in this Open Cup tournament for the first time ever? What was that like for all the players?
Yeah, I think all the players were really excited. I think America's definitely growing in talent with football. I think young boys are like, they're just, the talent here is immense. There's a lot of talented players, and especially this Open Cup, where a lot of them get the exposure that not many think they would get. But even with foreign FC, a lot of youth in the team, a mix of Americans and internationals. But again, just to answer your question, the Open Cup, when you were competing in it, we didn't really expect it to be how good it is at the moment. Especially myself, I've never competed in it. So when we qualified and we knew we were playing Austin FC, of course, MLS Next Pro Champions, we knew we were in for a tough battle. But then to see their talent, to see how they played, you know, how physical, fast, technical they are, it kind of opened our eyes. But then we matched them. So it also showed to us that even though we aren't a quote-unquote professional team, there's still a lot of talent within America that still needs to be seen, I think so.
Absolutely fun thing to hear, and very glad to hear that. Just out of curiosity, though, do you have, growing up in Scotland, can you share us a great memory from the Scottish FA Cup, if you have one, that you've witnessed yourself?
Yeah, so obviously in Scotland, it's not the Scottish FA Cup, it's the Scottish Cup. But, yeah, there's a lot of, like, lower league teams, I would say, for example, I think this year Livingston actually just beat, I don't know who it was, maybe Celtic it might have been, to qualify for the round of 16. And that's a big thing for a lower league club in Scotland, because it's very hard for first year amateur teams to go through in these tournaments when they're competing with big clubs like them. So that's the one highlight that I can remember for sure. And again, these cup sets and cup stories, they never fail to provide.
Absolutely, and it's a fun time, of course. Unfortunately, not for you. You're going to have to serve a one-match suspension in the second round, unfortunately. But still, though, I know you'll be cheering on the boys on your club for the next round. Of course, your next round opponent in the Open Cup will be against the NPSL's Lubbock Matadors. Have you traveled the entire state of Texas? Are you aware of some of these other clubs, whether it be at your level or at the NPSL level? What do you know about them? And what do you think you can do to try to, you know, maybe the boys can find a way to get you involved in the third round if you do beat Lubbock in the second round?
Yes, so funnily enough, the Lubbock Matadors coach was my ex-college coach when I moved here to America. So, I, like you said, I have been around Texas. I did stay in Lubbock for a little bit. great guy, of course, and Lubbock Matadors are a good, very good club. But the boys are excited. I think I'm just going to cheer them on and tell them, hey, get one for me and beat my old coach so I can play with you guys. But we're confident. I think this obviously beating Austin has given us a massive boost that we know we can compete against any team, to say the least. So I'm confident in the boys. I'm confident that we're going to go there to Lubbock and compete hard and hopefully get the victory so that we can move forward and I can play the third round.
That's the hope, isn't it? Of course, we all hope. Yeah, and plus you got to promise us you can't, you whatever you got sent off for, you can never, ever do that again, okay? Never, ever do that again, you naughty boy. No, I'm just kidding. I like to have a little fun, obviously. We want to have a little fun with this. This is a serious show. I want you to have a little fun, too, here, obviously.
No, of course.
Moving on forward here. So talk about this club that you've been a part of. What's about 4-0 that you love being over there? And, you know, for how long they've been around in the Dallas area, what's it like over there?
Yeah, so 4-0, I'm pretty sure not many people know about 4-0, but they opened up in 2018. I joined 2021, but what I really love about 4-0 is the community that is built. You know, we look to develop and bring in young players that are just looking for bigger challenges, playing in harder competitions. And when I first joined, it was a mixture of American players, like I said, and some international players as well. There's been some ex-pros that have came and played with us too, but it's just with 4-0 is the opportunity to grow. Of course, we're getting coached by Michelle Garbini, who's currently North Texas coach, so that pro coaching as well and exposure to developing your skills, developing just your talents, and even this competing in the Open Cup against professional teams like this. So that's one thing I really like about 4-0 as well, community, the talent, and just being a part of professional setting and getting that training that you want to kind of reach the next level, if that's one person's goal, for sure.
Absolutely, and I'm very happy to hear that. And once again, I really do hope that they do win the match so you can go on to the third round, but hopefully we'll wait and see when we get to the beginning of April, which is very, very soon. But anyway, Ivan, I just want to say thank you very much for joining me tonight. Sorry you have to sit out this second round matchup, but hopefully for the boys, they'll do you solid and they can get into that third round and get you back in.
Yeah, of course. And thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Pleasure talking to you as well. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Mr. Ivan Muanze-Bengono from 4-0 SC coming out of Dallas, Texas, as once again, they advance down 10 men. And, of course, that's the man that got the red card, so I guess this is part of his suspension. I'm only kidding, of course. I didn't care who was going to come on the show representing the club. It was fine. Yep, he got sent off in the 81st minute. Ivan did, and it was 1-1 through extra time. Excuse me, 1-1 through regulation, 2-2 through extra time, 4-3 through five rounds of the penalty kick shootout, as 4-0 SC advances past Austin FC 2. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, it was unbelievable seeing what is happening here in the U.S. Open Cup. As we continue on here on the show, my next guest from the National Premier Soccer League, he is the general manager of Lubbock Matadors, the one and only Dustin McCorkle, as the Matadors, they get a big, big victory against the Arizona Monsoon in extra time. Dustin, welcome back. How are you, sir? And congratulations on Lubbock's first Open Cup victory.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we got a really good feeling coming out of that game, and being able to participate in this tournament has been special, and getting selected to host was amazing, but nothing is compared to that winning feeling. So being able to deliver a extra time goal that solidified us to move on was pretty amazing.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I got to say, I loved the crowd. I thought the crowd was spectacular. They were really dialed in, everyone ready to go, hooting and hollering. It was really awesome to see a great turnout for you and the boys and the club.
Yeah, we had a sellout crowd. We had a little over 2,200 people at that stadium, which I believe is probably the most they've ever had in that venue, which was really cool and special for us to do. So we're going to be running it back this next Tuesday and hoping that we can repeat another sellout with us having all attention in town on us for this game.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen there. If I can ask you this, of course, everyone has a goal, obviously. We all know, you know, you want to win a league championship and everything that goes along with it, but how important is it to yourself, to the players, to the coaches, that you want to succeed in this Open Cup?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it was on the vision board of being able to participate in this at some point. I don't know that it was on the vision board this early on in our existence, but we're here and it feels amazing to be able to be a part of it. And, you know, it's for the fans. If you got to tune into our match, you got to see the passion, the unity and the excitement. You know, our supporters group, the Mozos, were on another level of energy that night. They actually came out and spoke to our players. Some of these guys had never been a part of our team before. Really getting to instill what the culture and what the club means to this community. And so for us to be able to get a win was incredible, but I think the thirst for another one is now there, and we want to keep going.
Now, obviously, big time game here, and a lot of, as we all know, something screwy always happens in the Open Cup. Unfortunately, the club was down in the opening half in the 37th minute there from Arizona. Isaac Fierro made it 1-0. And then, of course, you had a player who was originally booked in the 40th minute in Mr. Garcia over there. Bruno Garcia, originally booked in the 40th minute. But late in regulation, Salvador Martinez gets you that big equalizer to at least force extra time.
Yeah, if you watch the match, it was one of those games where it was incredible, but it was also frustrating at the same time. I mean, we had a couple of sitters in front of the goal that, if you ask me, should have been in the back of the net. And then the second half was just a complete dominance of pressure and push. And I don't know how many shot attempts that we had, but, I mean, it had to be up in the 20s. And so for one to finally sneak its way in, you could just feel the momentum at that point. That already felt like we were gaining, and then to capitalize on it, now it really felt like, you know, guys, like, keep our foot on the gas, and we're going to go home with a victory. And that's what happened. Salvador's goal was incredible, and then obviously the extra time, it felt like we were just continuing to build on what we did in the second half.
What was it like for you before Salvador scored, when Arizona got that red card in the 79th minute? Did you feel that was the extra boost your guys needed to try and equalize the match?
I mean, of course, when you go up a man, that's always going to be a good feeling, right? But I don't think we even really needed that. I mean, we had a, in my opinion, that team was gassed. I believe they started the match with 14 players. They delayed coming out of halftime by almost 10 minutes, which told our team right away that there's probably some desire to rest longer, and we thought it was an interesting strategy to stay in the locker room. And so, yeah, like, I think that at that point there was some confidence going into the second half that the team wasn't on the field. They were trying to rest, and you could see it in the second half. I mean, I felt like the energy was there the whole time. And regardless of whether we had a man from the other team sent off or not. I think we felt the whole time that we should have been winning that game by much more than what the score showed, and I'm just glad we came out on top.
Absolutely. And then we get into extra time, and then once again, it's your man, unfortunately, Bruno Garcia, who gets the sending off in the 93rd minute in extra time, and it's all even at 10. Is it frustrating to see that happen, to see one of your guys getting sent off such a late moment in the match?
Of course. I mean, it's one of those that I think there were a lot of cards given out in that game. I thought the officials, for the most part, did a really good job. I think it's, maybe hard for me to remove my bias. I don't know that the card was necessarily a card that should have been placed on somebody that had a yellow. But the official thought it was. And, it's one of those that you just have to go into and say, hey, like, we had our advantage, and now the game's all tied up to 10, and it is what it is. Let's go put the pressure on them and continue to do our game. And again, our guys had 3 days to practice all together. But what was really cool was being able to see our principles, our philosophies, with just 3 days of training, come out in such a short time and help us get the victory.
And the victory came from, very late in extra time in the second half. Tufik Njem in the 119th minute. That was an amazing moment to see him just basically tuck that ball inside the far post and put you guys ahead 2-1.
Yeah, I have to give it to their goalkeeper. He was really, I think, the difference maker in that game. There were a few shots on goal that if you watch back, I felt like a normal night. There's a few balls that go in because they were well-placed, well-timed balls, but that goalkeeper was all over the place playing his heart out. So really hats off to their goalkeeper. But, Tufik's goal was unbelievable, and being able to see our supporters group run over, salute him, and then embrace and have the whole team be a part of that. I think, deep down inside, I was really hoping that the game would end in extra time and not go to penalty kicks because, with penalty kicks, you never know what's going to happen, right? But I felt like the pressing, the energy, the way we played, and the chances that we had on goal, we deserved to win that game and on the field and not have it come down to some sort of chance like that.
Absolutely. I understand completely how you feel, and it's just one of those things where, unfortunately, you just can't seem to control it. It just happens naturally, unfortunately. If I can ask you this, I know we all know about Michael Hitchcock, obviously, and we all know how Hitch loves getting people involved in the game. I'm assuming he was there in Lubbock. What was his thoughts? Did you get his thoughts about the match and how the club did?
Yeah, I think he did make his appearance. I think he did his best to enjoy the game off on his own for the most part. I think as an owner, when you have a team participating in this, you want to take it in, right? I mean, this is so rare that our level gets to participate in something so special and the fact that we were hosting. So for the most part, I try to let him enjoy the game and do what he needed to do to get through the night. But I did get to catch up with him toward the end of the match. And we were just talking about, how we were hoping we were going to pull this one out. He got to his quote-unquote lucky spot where he was when we scored our first goal, and he kind of hung out there the rest of the night. So it was really special. He works extremely hard in our league and around the world with soccer, and being able to deliver a win for him, I think, was special for coaches, myself, and the players. And we're going to be rallying, for this city, for the community, and everyone that's been a part of this to do it again next Tuesday.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. You're going to take on 4-0 SC. I think you saw what they did to Austin FC 2, going all the way to penalties. I always talk about the MPSLs your conference involving yourselves in Denton, West Texas, Houston, San Antonio, all these clubs inside the state of Texas, and now it's a knock 'em out, drag 'em out conference. But now you're going to take on a club that is basically not in the NPSL, but is still Texan. Is it still going to be a big, big battle?
Oh, 100%. We know all about 4-0. They have a great history about them. They're known for having really amazing talent. I mean, Dallas, as we know, is a hotbed for soccer athletes and guys that have been playing for a long time. And we know that they have really good players on their team. They have guys that have been playing together for a little longer than ours. So definitely not a game that you can say is going to be easy, but I'm excited for it. We are used to really tough games playing in the conference that we're in. But, you know, they're coming to our turf. They're coming to West Texas. And, you know, my thoughts and feelings are, you know, we always have that 12th man in our back pocket with our community and our fan base. And we're going to need them to be really loud and make it extra special and hard on them coming in here so that we can move on past a really good team.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen there, because I'll tell you this right now, Dustin, I think it's going to be another bang-up game between you and 4-0, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We were speaking to one of their players just in the last segment in I hope I can pronounce his name correctly. Apparently, your head coach was his head coach, Ivan Muwanz Bengono, who was over at 4-0. He was his college coach or head coach, and
yep.
You know, he's looking to take a notch on the belt, if you know what I mean. But unfortunately, he got sent off.
Yeah, there's going to be some little things here and there that are motivating factors. I think there's some storylines that the fans may or may not know with different connection points. But that's what makes it exciting, right? Like, this is not just another game. This isn't something that, you know, we hope we win. Everybody's playing for a reason. There's pride on the line, and there's connections across the board that has bragging rights and pride attached to it. And, you know, we like to think of ourselves as our own thing. We try not to compare ourselves to many other people within our league or anywhere else. So we want to go set the standard on and off the field at our club, and we continue to try to raise the bar. So I know Coach Gilbert, Coach Yuri are ready to come back into town, and the boys that are coming back with them are all that much more amped to continue on in the journey.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what's going to happen there for Lubbock moving forward. But anyway, Dustin, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on to the show. Good luck in the second round of the Open Cup against 4-0. And hopefully you'll be the one I'll be talking to the next review show.
Yeah, please tune in and watch our game. And one more time, just want to say thank you to our fans for all the support. You guys are incredible, and can't wait to put on a good show for you on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see that as well. Have a good night and good luck again.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you as well. That's Mr. Dustin McCorkle from the Lubbock Matadors of the NPSL. Their club wins it in extra time by a final of 2-1 over Arizona Monsoon. And joining me tonight, he is general manager of El Farolito. They've done it again. This time they go to the Pacific Northwest and they take out the Portland Timbers 2 team and a big, big road victory in the Open Cup. And he's joining me right now, Santiago Lopez from El Farolito. Santiago, welcome back. Congratulations. And once again, El Farolito is off and running.
Yeah, thank you, David, for having us again in the show. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you back on. Santiago, you know, it's just amazing to watch this match. I mean, obviously, you're not facing the Timbers themselves. You're facing their 2 team from their academy kids going to the next stage of their professional careers. But what does it mean for you and El Farolito to take on that level and just finding the way to get that victory?
It means a lot to their group and the confidence as well, because we knew they were a young team, but we also knew they were very talented. They were very quick, probably better fit than us. But going into that stadium, it's a great learning experience for the new people that we have in our team, and it just built from here on.
No, absolutely, and that's great to hear. And I got to say this, though. Crazy events in this one, especially for your side, how your guys were able to just withstand the pressure from Portland Timbers 2 and just finding a way to get that victory, especially after the situation in the second half. But still, though, this was probably your finest hour.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was very motivating for the team. It was a great time. These type of traveling situations helped the group bond together. We're early in the year, and we can never forget about the NPSL, because it's thanks to that, you know, to our league that we're in the Open Cup. So not only thinking about the Open Cup, but also thinking the future in NPSL, it's a great moment for the team to connect and bond and create a new group that we could hopefully stay together and look for another championship run in our conference.
Now, did the restaurant have the feed set up at the bar so that everyone can watch your club go out there and perform at their greatest moment?
Unfortunately, I don't think that anybody was streaming the match. In the past, we have. I think it's been another company that had broadcast the matches, and it was a bit more easier with the application. But this time, I don't think anybody at the bar had a computer and connected to the TV. But only a few were asking. But unfortunately, we couldn't stream it. People were just enjoying their times and playing pool, so they were happy to hear the news.
Oh, that's great to hear. I'm glad to hear that. And somebody wire up the bar, would they? Can someone listen to me here if they're from El Farolito at the restaurant? Wire it up, boys. Come on now. You can do better than that. No, I'm kidding around.
Yeah.
No, that's your call, not mine. I have no say in what goes on over there.
But
Yep. Thank you. Okay. I got your support. That's all that matters. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about this matchup. Obviously, you're down 1-0 in the 30th minute to Keyshawn Ferdinand. I'm assuming that might be Rio's son. I don't know, but I'm only guessing here. But still, though, I think that was just a crazy mix-up by inside your area, and he just found a way to get you guys early in that 30th minute.
Yeah, it was just a mistake that we ended up giving up a goal. But you know, in the beginning, in the first 20 minutes, I could tell that our plan was working, and we were putting a lot of pressure on them, and that goal didn't make a big difference on us. We went into halftime, we regrouped, we stayed focused on what we needed to do in our task, and we pulled it off. And after the 1-1, they got a red card, and that that helped us even more. We had momentum before that, so they had a really close chance in the last play of the game. We got very lucky that the player missed it out wide, but you know, we're very happy that we performed and we stayed focused on our strategy, and we got the victory.
Absolutely, it was great. And of course, the crazy sequence happened around the 51st, 52nd minute. Your man Johan Jaber finds a way to get an equalizer to make it 1-1. And then all of a sudden in the second minute, the next minute after, I should say, the head coach's son, Philip Neville's son, Harvey, he got booked in the 20th minute for something, and then he gets booked again for a tackle from behind for a second yellow-red card in the 53rd. That had to be crazy in front of you, what happened.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those plays that we worked on a lot, and we knew that was one of their weaknesses that we needed to keep up the pressure. And their defender, Ferdinand, passed the ball a little too heavy on the left side of the midfielder, and he couldn't control it. Our midfielder anticipated and he committed a foul. He had already committed a foul but didn't get a second yellow, so he was already on a warning. So it was going to happen, and we got lucky that it happened after we tied.
Absolutely. And then later on in the match, about, I would say, 15 minutes later, a big, big goal coming in for El Farolito from Dembor Benson. What is it about Benson that you love so much and how he took that shot well?
Yeah, Benson is really good in aerial duels. He's very he's pretty high. He's pretty tall. He gets some height, and he found some space in the middle, and he ended up heading it in. And he's just such a hard worker. He's very passionate with the game, and he's one of the leaders for sure in the squad.
He really is, and boy, was that goal really needed and necessary. And then, of course, you have about 22 minutes left, plus whatever was added on in stoppage time in the second half. What was the nerves like for you watching this team going out there trying to hold on to that 2-1 lead, but at the same time, you're up a man?
Yeah, right there, our mentality does switch a bit more because we're up a man, up a goal. So we were trying to keep possession, trying to keep the players focused and keep things simple, maintain the intensity with the ball, not without it as much. So we're just trying to remind the players to keep working, keep passing the ball. But Portland Timbers were just, they never gave up, and we got a couple scares there in the counters. But thankfully we were able to pull it off thanks to our keeper and our defender.
You know, this is probably either the second or the third time that I've watched your club in El Farolito at least move on from the opening round of the Open Cup. And, of course, you know, whatever happens afterwards, you know, it happens. I understand that. But still, though, what's the good feeling around when you finally get out of these opening rounds? And usually you face off against another lower division side, but this time you're taking on the next level up, because they're considered third division.
Correct. Yeah. You definitely want to start any competition winning, getting off that pressure and nervous feeling of the first game and going through. It's a good sign. Players end up feeling more confident, more motivated that this could be a good run for us this year. So we just need to keep focused on our task and our strategy and analyze this Fuego, Central Valley Fuego team and try to get another cup set next week.
Now, let me ask you about that. This is going to be, for the very first time, their head coach, former U.S. men's national team player Jermaine Jones, of course, played in the Bundesliga, played in MLS. What are the dangers facing a club like that with a first-time ever head coach on the professional level, but at the same time full of experience in international football and in international club football as well?
Yeah. Some coaches are amazing at some players are amazing at players, and they can't really transmit their ideas to coaching, so I know he's beginning his he's starting his career, and wishing him the best. And I'm sure he will do amazing things in the future. But being a coach is completely different. So I think us as a group could take advantage of that. It's his first time. His first experience in the Open Cup was against an amateur team, Folsom. I know it was a very tough game for them. So we'll see. We're going to try to surprise them with our strategy against theirs. We know how they play. We know some other players. This is the second time we play a professional Fresno club in the Open Cup and in second round as well. Last time was Fresno FC, and we lost 1-0 at home at Boxer. So this time we're going to go in a way and play for the first time against them. And so it's going to be a different story, and yeah, hopefully we can pull it off. And I know that our team is very, very motivated, and they know the task that they're up against, and and hopefully we can have another great night.
How many people talk to you about, or at least when the club, I know under a different name, won the Open Cup championship back in the early 90s, what was that feeling like? And, you know, what's that motivated feeling to maybe tell these players, you know, this can be done? Even though there was no Major League Soccer back then and the professional leagues were not there like it used to be, but now that it's here, you know, what type of positive discussions can you give these players about, you know, back then in those days that you can probably do something now?
Yeah, I believe that if a team is very talented and their core values and their culture is very strong and they're united, that makes a team even more difficult to defeat. So I always tell them that we need to focus on ourselves. We need to work hard in our strategy, and at the same time, always respect each other and create a good bond within each other, because that's going to make us very much stronger in any difficult situation in any game. So, and from the past, that's what happened. The team in the 90s, I remember, they were all very, very united. They were a great group of, you know, individuals, and they were just a great group together. And they made all that possible. And nowadays, with the modern football, we hear of like 6th or 3rd division teams in FA Cup or Bundesliga or the Pokal German Cup. So you never know. We could probably make a big run, and with, you know, as long as we try and we keep working hard, I think anything is possible.
So then let me ask you this. What Saarbrücken is doing in the Pokal, is that what's going to be the rally cry now?
I mean, it's definitely, it's setting a standard of that anything could happen, and all these teams in the top tiers, they could probably face on a lower division with the reserves, and they might be too confident or something could happen like that. And it's 90 minutes, possibly 120 minutes. So, it's the important thing is showing up to the game and being very smart and not giving up, and play every second the best that you can.
No, absolutely. And that's the one thing we love about this tournament. We want to see you, David, taking out a Goliath. And so far, that's one notch more on the belt for El Farolito moving on to the second round against Central Valley Fuego. But anyway, Santiago, as always, thank you for joining me tonight. I really appreciate your time. Good luck in the second round, and hope to have you back on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having us again, and hopefully talk to you soon.
Hopefully talk to you soon. Have a good night, sir.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Santiago Lopez from El Farolito, the National Premier Soccer League, as they took out Portland Timbers 2 by a final of 2-1. Let's review some of these scores, of course, from the opening round here of the 2024 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Once again, here it is. Chattanooga FC falling to Miami United by 1-0. Once again, Brave SC falling to Savannah Clovers 2-0. Vermont Green FC defeating Lexington SC 4-3. Forward Madison defeating Duluth FC 2-0. West Chester United falling to the Maryland Bobcats 2-0. South Georgia Tormenta defeating FC America Central Florida Spurs 1-0. Tulsa Athletic falls to Northern Colorado Hailstorm 4-1. It was 2-2 between Austin FC 2 and Faro SC through regulation extra time, and it was Faro on penalties winning it 4-3. Portland Timbers 2 fell to El Farolito 2-1. Richmond Kickers defeating Christos FC 1-0. AS Frenzy falling to Club de Leon 3-2. SC United Bantams falling to the Greenville Triumph by 1-0. Asheville City SC falling to 1 Knoxville 2-0. Apophos FC advanced on a forfeit as the Georgia Lions decided they were not going to compete due to a roster issue. New York Red Bulls 2 defeating Hudson Valley Hammers 5-1. Chicago Fire 2 routing Chicago City SC 6-0. Sadly, Chicago House falling to the Minnesota United FC 2 by a final of 3-0. FC Folsom falling to Central Valley Fuego by a final of 2-1. Irvine Zeta proper defeating SC Mesoamerica 1-0. LA Force defeating Redlands FC 2-1. Ballard FC falling to Spokane Velocity by 1-0. Capo FC and the Des Moines Menace 2-2 through regulation extra time. And, of course, Des Moines Menace winning it on penalties 5-4. Steel City FC falling to Michigan Stars 1-0. FC Motown falling to New York City FC 3-0. Chattanooga Red Wolves falling to Brockton FC United 4-0. Chattanooga Red Wolves defeating Brockton FC United by a final of 4-2 in extra time. Crown Legacy falling to South Carolina United Heat by 1-0. Western Mass Pioneers falling to Union Omaha 4-0. Vereeniging Erzgebirge falling to Charlotte Independence by a final of 2-0. Carolina Core defeating Nova FC, that's Northern Virginia, 3-2. In extra time, Lubbock Matadors defeating Arizona Monsoon 2-1. Colorado Rapids 2 defeating Azteca FC 3-0. And Ventura County FC, which is formerly LA Galaxy 2, Los Dos, defeating Irvine Zeta 2. Final there, 2-1. Here is the schedule for the second round. And once again, you can watch it on ussoccer.com as well as uslsoccer.com and mlssoccer.com. Richmond Kickers on April 2nd. Here are the matches on April 2nd. Richmond Kickers hosting the Maryland Bobcats. Charlotte Independence hosting South Carolina United Heat. NYCFC 2 hosting New York Red Bulls 2. Lubbock Matadors hosting Foro SC. Minnesota United FC 2 hosting Michigan Stars. And on Wednesday, April the 3rd, Miami United FC hosting Club de Leon. South Georgia Tormenta hosting Savannah Clovers. 1 Knoxville hosting Greenville Triumph. Vermont Green hosting Carolina Core. Apotheos FC will be hosting the Chattanooga Red Wolves. Chicago Fire FC 2 hosting Forward Madison. Union Omaha hosting Des Moines Menace. That will be the second round for Sasha Kleischen. Colorado Rapids 2 hosting Northern Colorado Hailstorm. Ventura County FC hosting Irvine Zeta. Spokane Velocity hosting LA Force. And finally, Central Valley Fuego hosting El Farolito. That match will be to be determined on the date. I want to thank my guests tonight. I want to thank Adam Pfeiffer from Vermont Green, my colleague Carter Krishnire from World Soccer Talk, and, of course, Beyond the 90, Ivan Muanz Bengono of Foro SC, Dustin McCorkle of Lubbock Matadors, and Santiago Lopez of El Farolito. Join me again for my next Four Your Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. Thank you. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. This has been the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup first round review show here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Have a good night. Take care, so long, and bye-bye for now. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care, so long, and have a good night. Take care, everybody.